As you know, we've been working through Micah 6:8 in our What Can I Do series. And in Micah 6:8, it says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly. We've looked at that over the last couple of weeks. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Today, I want to share with you some thoughts and ideas on what it means to love mercy. You notice it says love mercy. It doesn't say learn about mercy. It doesn't say just agree with mercy or even give or grant mercy. But to love mercy is love showing mercy. It just as was the case when we looked at what does it mean to act justly. Jesus is our model on how to love mercy. And as I think about this passage and I think about mercy, there are two ideas that I want us to explore. The first is forgiveness and what that means. And the second is compassion. I feel like the two of those combined together really embody what Micah's saying here about loving mercy. I'm trying not to go into the shadows here and have you lose me. So today I want to focus on how Jesus challenges us to give forgiveness. There's asking forgiveness. We ask forgiveness for how I hurt you. Please forgive me for how I hurt you. But there's also giving or granting forgiveness for how you hurt me. You know, in this season of family and time together, I can think about forgiveness and think about forgiveness. And sometimes the people that are the hardest to be given forgiveness are those that were at one point in time closest to us. So we want to look at Matthew 18. So you can turn in your electronic handheld or your actual Bible itself to Matthew 18. And we're going to see what Jesus talks about in light of forgiveness. So let me give you a context. We're going to start in verse 21. But the context is Jesus had just taught on how we're to handle conflict through handling it face to face, not bringing others in to seek unity and the restoration of that relationship and the restoration of someone who is struggling with sin. He then tells them that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is with us through his spirit. So Peter has heard all this and he sees that Jesus is putting an emphasis on the value of relationships. And he knows by now forgiveness is a big part of that as he has been following Jesus. And so he asks a question, picking up in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now let me tell you what's going on here. The cultural religious law of the time said three times. You're to forgive somebody three times, and then you can let it go. Seven is often used as the complete number, right, in the Hebrew culture, with great significance. So Peter's saying, okay, I know the religious law says three, but what about seven? What if I go above and beyond what the religious law says? Is that what I need to do? But Jesus knows what Peter's looking for and saying, when can I stop? When do I no longer have to do this? And so in verse 22, Peter gets his reply. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Jesus's, or 77, sorry, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, that many times. Jesus is saying, no, Peter, not the number limit you want to put on it. In fact, if you want a number, your heart's in the wrong place. To help bring the real point home, Jesus tells a story, a parable, as it were. In verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, when you see that, the kingdom of heaven is like, pay attention. Jesus is going to teach you something very important about the kingdom of heaven. After all, we're to build on those principles of the kingdom of heaven and bring them here to earth in the body. So he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts. He wanted to balance the books. So in doing so, he began a settlement, and a man was called in who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. And he was brought in. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Sometimes they would go, for those with great debt, would go into a debtor's prison. This time they're saying, no, we're going to sell you and everything you own. You're going to be servants. You're going to become slaves to settle this debt. And in verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Now watch these words. Be patient with me, he begs, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity and canceled the debt and let him go. This is millions of dollars. One translation I saw, or one commentary, said several million dollars. Generations of debt is canceled. He is free to go. His family is free to live debt-free. What a relief. What a restart. Now, at this point, the apostles have been hearing the parables in Jesus' stories. And so if they were like me, they were thinking ahead. Okay, where's Jesus going with this? Where is Jesus going? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So is he talking about the Son of Man's going to do that for us and allow our burdens to be removed? Or about our riches being in heaven rather than laying them up here on earth? But Jesus continues, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, is what the NIV says. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Another translation actually gives the actual amount. It says 100 denarii. And a denarii is a servant's pay for the day. So this debt is basically 100 days of servant's pay. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. Jesus uses the same words for this servant as what the servant said to the master. But he refused, and instead he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Notice, just like the king, the man had a choice to forgive or to make him pay. To give or grant forgiveness is always a choice. No one can force you to forgive, and only you can stop yourself from granting forgiveness. It's all your choice. And you don't have to wait until you feel healed. Sometimes healing will not come from that pain until you've granted someone forgiveness. Let's go back to our story. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. They went and told the king because they saw the hypocrisy. They saw this all playing out and said, something's not right here. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So let's follow this character in this parable of Jesus, his story. He owed a great debt. He was to be sold as a slave along with his family. He was forgiven. Then he was owed a small debt. He did not choose forgiveness. He was then put in the debtor's prison and tortured. And now that large debt, that great debt, is back on his family for generations and generations and generations to come. If I was the apostles, I'd be thinking, what a fool. How selfish. How stupid could that man be? That man was an ungodly sinner. Then Jesus gets right to the heart of the story, as he always does at the end of his stories and his parables. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Boom. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, if you don't forgive in your heart someone that hurt you, you are that ungrateful servant because you've been forgiven of so much. Listen, forgiveness is hard. Yet God instructs us to forgive. But why? Why should I forgive someone who hurt me, who did wrong by me, who caused me pain? I want to give you three reasons that we can see in the scripture about forgiveness. The first, you should forgive someone because you were granted forgiveness. Just like this story that Jesus is saying, you were forgiven of great things. All your sin and all of the hurt and the pain and the wrong that you've done to someone else because of Jesus, you've been forgiven. So forgive because you have been forgiven. In Colossians 3, Paul says it this way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The second point works into that idea of bearing with one another. We should forgive because it's an opportunity to show sacrificial and sometimes supernatural love to others. We're instructed to love others. This passage in Colossians 3 says, bear with one another. That's not easy. That's in the difficult times. That's when I don't want to. Otherwise, I don't think that it's really bearing with one another. I don't think it really takes that same effort if I'm in unity and in accord and thinking the same way as someone. I'm not bearing with them. But when I disagree with them, when they hurt me, when they overlooked my feelings, when they left me out, then in order to love them, in order to forgive them, I have to bear effort with that person so that I can forgive them. Look, my way of hurt, of pain, is to hang on to it, hold it, sometimes put it in my backpack to use at an appropriate time. Why? To get my revenge. But Jesus's way says, release it. Let it go. And to follow Jesus's way, I have to sacrifice my desire to stay angry. I have to sacrifice my desire to hold a grudge. And sometimes that requires a supernatural movement of the Spirit because I don't want to, and I can get stuck. But when I go through that and finally release it, finally become unstuck, it always shows God's love through me. Because it's not what I want to do. And those people that know me know it's not what I want to do. When I'm bearing with someone else, they know it. I'm not good at hiding it. The third reason, it brings about healing. When I forgive someone, I'm releasing them from my anger. And I'm also releasing myself from the temptation to hold on to a dark emotion. An emotion that can take root within me and poison my soul. 1 John 1 says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Get that. If we walk in the light and he's the light, we have fellowship. It doesn't say with the light, because we're already walking with the light. We have fellowship with one another. That means that when we're walking in the way that Jesus would have, close enough in relationship that he can convict us and convince us of the things that we're hanging on to that need to be released, we can, once we obey and follow in that, fellowship built one with another. It brings about healing. Rob Reimer in Soul Care says this, God cannot cleanse that which we will not confess. God cannot heal that which we will not admit. There is no freedom without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without repentance. You see, sometimes when I think it's all the wrong that they did, and I bring that to Jesus, he unveils my heart, Psalm 139, 23, 24, unveils my heart, searches me, tests me to know me, and shows me what part of this I'm hanging on to, what part of this I need to confess myself. You must resolve to walk in the light with God and with others. To walk in the light is not just with God, and it's with others. So what about you? What hurt in your relationships are you hanging on to and hiding from or denying? What person do you need to forgive and release? What anger do you need to be released from of that burden of carrying it? It starts with confessing it to God of what you've been hanging on to. It's not taking the blame for what someone did to you. It's confessing to God that I've held on to this. I've been hanging on to this. And I know from your word, I'm supposed to bring it to you and lay it down at the cross for you to carry it. So I'm confessing that to you right now, Jesus. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is your healer. And he wants to heal the things that hurt you the deepest. And oftentimes, that's in our relationships. On Sunday night, last Sunday night, as we gathered together outdoors, I felt led to kind of share some things in Ecclesiastes, the 3, where it talks about a time and a season, and then to pray through some of those different seasons. And as I listed those out, one of them in particular hit me very, very hard, where Solomon says, a time to tear and a time to mend. And the way that hit me was about relationships. There are people who are holding on to hurt from close relationships. You might be one of them. You need Jesus to take away that burden and to set you free. If you have wounds from relationship, separation from people as a result of disagreements, pain from the hurt of things said or done, you need Jesus to set you free. And that starts by telling Jesus what you've been hanging on to. Being willing to forgive and release your anger and replace it with something so much better. Replace it with God's perfect love. And let that resonate in you. Replace it with God's perfect peace beyond all understanding. Replace it with God's comfort, all surpassing, all encompassing. What are you hanging on to? I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that God, that the Spirit would convict you of someone you need to forgive. You need to release from your anger, an anger that you need to release to Jesus to be healed from it. I feel the path towards healing starts with within. Each person to be healed makes the body become healed. And there's hurt there. I know there's hurt there. And Jesus wants to set you free.